Let's get it going. Let's get it hyped.
We're rocking. So
let's do it. Welcome.
So we gotta thank the people in Fort Smith, fantastic hosts, for when we went down there to judge the Addies.
Hey! And, big ups to Fort Smith!
And on a note to the show, Nate, it was nice that you sent me, or had him send me, that all of a sudden we had a Twitter account and just sent it right to my email. And then we Twittered the whole way there and back.
We did. We're going to spend some time.
Nate's forcing me into this new technology.
This is actually going to eventually transform into our first Twitter show. I was going to call it Twitterific, but that's actually a thing.
So half an hour ago, we put in a call for a couple questions. We got like 5 questions that'll fill the show.
Yeah, that's pretty much, and we're letting Twitter do the work for us.
And that's what it's about. So you go to twitter.com/36point.
That's easy enough.
You sign up for a feed, you answer questions. I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, the feed costs $25 to subscribe to.
Oh, and you can mail the check directly to 36 point.
That's a lie. Yeah. No, Twitter's free. Okay, so before we get to that, though, Donovan, we got to talk about
Design Matters, February 13th.
Let's talk about that first.
Friday the 13th, Nate Voss hosting Design Matters.
Yes, that, again, you can find on Voice America. At 2:00 Central Standard Time, interviewing AIJ medalist design legend Joe Duffy.
It'll be Nate live instead of, you listen to this show. We record for about 26 straight hours, and we narrow it down to about 20 minutes.
We usually record for, 26 hours is a bit of an exaggeration. Usually we do about 5 or 6, and we whittle it down into a half hour of only the good stuff that's left over.
Right.
I think my biggest, the thing that I'm nervous about today more than anything, all of the swearing. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to have to come down on that, I think, because I think that they're, guests, if you listen to Debbie's show, if you're a guest on Debbie's show, you can say whatever you want. If you're the host on Debbie's show, less swearing. It's true.
Sorry, dude.
It's true. So, Friday, February 13th, 2 weeks from tomorrow. It's a big deal. It's gonna be hype. We're gonna have. I'm thinking we're gonna do like a little Facebook event so people can say, "Yeah, I'm gonna listen to that show.
I'm gonna hear Nate live.
It's gonna be good times. I want to hear Nate live.
His voice is like
a
complete octave higher. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. When I record,
I don't mix it down. Yeah.
I say, "Oh, hi guys. It's really nice to meet you." That actually might be a better radio voice. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, we teased this last show, we need to talk properly about.
Yeah, 2 weeks after Design Matters.
It is two weeks and a day. On February 28th. We're going back and forth. Donovan, take it.
We're going to be celebrating the one-year anniversary of 36 Point.
And the Reflex Blue Show.
That's right.
Hell yes. And what are we doing?
We're throwing an event. You guys can show up. Nomad Lounge here in Omaha.
Yeah, let's call
it. Open invite.
Let's call it a party. We're throwing an anniversary party.
Well, it's cash bar.
We're throwing
a
hype. Yeah, it is. Okay, it's cash bar. But it's a hype party.
But you know why it's a party?
It's going to be rocking because we're going to be there. That's why it's a party.
And we have some special guests flying in just for this occasion.
We're driving in. Let's talk about our special guests that are coming in.
We got Justin Ahrens.
Justin Ahrens.
Rule 29. He was on one of our shows. We got Steve Hartman, who was on the first Reflex Blue
from Creativeville in St. Louis. Steve's coming in, and he was our first guest. We also have Christine Taylor from Hallmark. Coming up from KC. Now, we got all this crazy talent coming in, Donovan. What are we doing with that?
We're going to try to do something for charity.
Right. Well, we're going to Yoda on that. We're not going to try. We're going to do it.
But that's like during the day. So we'll be all worn out doing this like charity design project.
Right. Basically, what we're going to do, we're creating a piece. More likely than not, it's going to be like some sort of jam art poster that benefits. If you guys listen to the Justin Ahrens Rule 29 podcast, you'll know that they've done a lot of work with Life in Abundance, which helps out people in impoverished African areas. And we're going to be creating a piece that can be produced and then sold to benefit. 100% will go to Life in Abundance off the proceeds of the sales of this thing that we're getting all these amazing creative people together to make. So we don't know what it is yet because a lot of it's going to happen day of. We're a little crazy like that. We don't like to pre-plan.
Yeah, that's not how we work.
So that's what we're doing that day.
So we'll be all worn out and just ready to go to the Nomad.
We're all going to have paint on our hands. You're going to show them, say, "Justin Ahrens, when did you start painting your fingernails black?" He's like, "Nah, dude." Because that's the way Justin speaks.
No, man. I really did hear he went goth, though.
Yeah, well, he did. He's good. Yeah. And actually, he won't say "nah, man." He'll say shuffle, kick the ground. I went goth, and now I'm Justin Aarons, and I'm down because I have black hair now. But anyway, that party, even with goth Justin, is going to be the boom diggity. So, February 28th, get your ass to Omaha. We're going to party all night long down at the Nomad Lounge starting at 9 o'clock. That's it. I even know of a few other people.
If you guys want more updates, if you want more updates, more details as they come in, sign up for the Facebook page or the Twitter feed or both.
Yeah, we're going to have,
or just keep checking 36point.com.
We're going to employ the 36 Point Network in order to pimp that as a party. It's going to be a jam. That's all I can tell you. It's going to be rock solid party. So let's move on. Let's get into our Twitter feed, Twitter show. Go Donovan.
All right, Graphic Gibbs, any iPhone apps that we recommend?
Okay, I saw a wicked iPhone app on Wired.com where you can plug in. I should know the name of this. I should have prepared for the show. Go to Wired.com, you guys. You'll find it. You can plug in or use your iPhone to take a photo of your Rubik's Cube. You know, the one that's been sitting in your basement for years. Never going to get solved.
No, I just got mine like a year ago. So
right. Did you? Yeah, but you haven't twisted it up. I've seen it.
No, I think it is. It looked better on the shelf twisted up.
Okay. Also, I'd throw it out to those nifty, like, Pantone Rubik's Cubes that have been floating around the blog sphere. You can either plug it in by hand where each color is on each side, or you can take a photo of each side and upload that. And this thing, in about 5 seconds, is going to give you 20 moves or less that will solve that cube. That's my pick right now for the iPhone app that everybody needs. It's like a dollar, I think.
Yes, yeah,
but you know what? People need to be paying dollars for iPhone apps.
I know, and I haven't downloaded anything that other than free ones. But we did do the Twitterific, so we were able to Twitter on the road and back.
Yeah, that one was good for us on the Fort Smith trip, and I almost feel like we should do a proper like Fort Smith Addies judging recap. Let's see if we have time. We'll come back to that at the end of the show.
Okay. So then we have Steve Gordon, ridiculous himself.
Yeah, Steve, I just ran into not 5 minutes.
He's asking what the favorite snack chips are. I'm going Doritos, old school myself.
I'm gonna give this some thought. Now, normally I would go Doritos on you,
but you don't like the new packaging. It scares you.
Lately, I've come to accept
the
new packaging.
The extreme.
It's been a long time. That was a Be a Design Group post when they put the new packaging up.
Yeah, is it still extreme?
It's been
a long time.
Yeah, like they need to now. Doritos needs to go a step crazier. Like, whatever they do, it's got to be crazy. It's got to have machine guns on it. Whatever it is, they got to step it up. And I might, going back to the question at hand, I might even have gone Sun Chips, or, like, if it's a road trip, I always have to say it's Chili Cheese Fritos, because that's just road trip and food. But as far as chips go right now, honestly, I can never go wrong with a canister of Pringles.
See, I'm thinking if you're going road trip, pretzels, because they're not so greasy.
Well, yeah, but then you're eating pretzels, and if it's not a big pretzel, I can't eat it. I love that we're donating so much of the show to this, but no, I can do the big pretzels that are like slathered in butter and salt. Oh my god!
Okay, other half
so
is
good.
Question: thoughts on the Starbucks machine crashing?
Okay, yeah, Starbucks
designers
keeps
are
going
like
down.
Obsessed with Starbucks, probably because they get it normally.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
So does the crashing kind of hurt us in a way?
Well, let's talk about that in a broader sense. Okay, Starbucks is one of those companies you list with Target, you list with Apple, that is design-centric. You know, they, like you just said, they get design, right? Okay, so here we are, and everyone has been saying for the last couple years that design is good business, and design is going to increase
Right, and that's
your
one of the case
line.
Studies.
Right. Now Starbucks is going down the shitter. They're closing, you know, they're laying off more people. They're closing more stores countrywide. We're probably going to get a few more that close here in Omaha. We already had some. God forbid. There's like two Starbucks in town that I go to, and if I lost either one of them, I would be sad.
See,
there are nice people that work there.
I don't drink any coffee. But even saying that and me not like eating their product or drinking their product, I still don't mind ever going in the store. My wife goes there. I'm like, oh, I'll go in with you. Just to even look around. It's a nice building.
You want to go in to
They're pretty
Starbucks.
Nice, yeah.
So certainly you don't want to see any falter. But, I mean, honestly, is this the first blow to design as a business model? Is this the first major blow
No,
to
I
it?
Think this is more a blow to not the business of design, but it's a blow to the business of growing too fast.
Could be. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I mean, but, you know, and there's plenty of other coffee shops that open and close. And, you know, Caribou Coffee isn't Caribou Coffee anymore. It's like...
That's the La Omaha Femme location. Nikita.
No, or is still, that just the Omaha ones?
Just the Omaha ones.
Yeah, so it's... I mean, you know, again, with the current economic situation that's going down in the Americas here, it's a little dicey for everybody. That's a good question, though. There's a little bit more to that than you would have originally thought.
Now Max Universe is going to ask us here.
Okay, Max Universe making a special appearance.
What we think of Pepsi Max, not the logo, its mere existence. The fact that it exists mocks him, he believes.
Pepsi Max as a question, not the logo specifically?
Yeah, just what is the difference between Pepsi Max and Pepsi? See, I get like the difference between Pepsi, Diet Pepsi.
Yeah, I get that.
What's the difference between like Diet Pepsi and Pepsi One?
Pepsi One has one calorie.
Okay, so it's zero calories or one calorie?
Coke Zero has zero calories.
I think that Pepsi Max is like...
One of them causes cancer and one of them doesn't. I mean, I think it comes down to the sweeteners that they're using.
Yeah, and then the Pepsi Max has like ginseng or something.
All right, we're taking this question from the crowd. If you know this off the top of your head,
now the one thing I do know, the one thing I do know is each one of them now has its own Pepsi logo, and this is a big thing.
We're not allowed. The question specifically stated, yeah, not but I think it's going to go.
Well, we've already answered is Pepsi Max is we don't even know what it is.
Right, but I'm sending that out there. I want to put a little rule to that. I'm forbidding anyone who's listening from doing any research and looking it up, because I don't want you to lose any of your life to defining what Pepsi Max is.
Right.
If you just happen to know, if you drink it, cool, good for you. Go ahead and send that in. Put a comment on 36 Point, and we'll hook you up.
Now I will say this: yesterday on the way to the
shout
office.
Out. Okay.
I went to the grocery store solely to look at the Tropicana packaging because Steve Gordon had asked me what I thought of it.
Okay.
And
he asked you on Twitter.
Yeah, and I
Twitter
can't,
show.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
So I can't like just look at the pictures which I'd seen and make a judgment there. I didn't think that was fair. I had to see it in its setting. And I thought in its setting, the Tropicana packaging looked better than any of the orange juice it was next to.
It is catching a lot of flack, though, and it pains me to say it because Sterling Brands.
What kind of flack is it catching?
Well, it caught flack in the new. I think it was the New York Times. You know, on their like index thing of like what's cool, what's hot, what sucks, and what's not. The index. I'm not in New York. I don't know what it's called, but it's cool. Anyway, but honestly, some of the buzz about the new package design is that, you know, people aren't necessarily digging it. And again, that's a Sterling Brands, Debbie Millman job, as far as I'm aware. She's like the president of design there.
Okay.
So, you know.
Well, I think it's one of those. Those are things I don't think you can judge until you see it on the store shelf, because that's the only place that it really matters.
Well, it also matters in your fridge. But I think in terms
because
in the fridge,
it works. Once you've already bought it.
It looks like orange juice.
Once you've already bought it, they don't care anymore.
Okay, well, true. Well, now that's not the way all package design works.
Well.
It's kind of a limited view there. People care. They care about whether or not you're going to recycle it. They care about what's going to happen to it after the fact. They care about, are you going to use it to make a terrarium?
I meant they don't care about
school.
What it looks like. Then it's all about how it works.
True. Okay.
So
I have yet to see it in a store like you.
So I, on the way out, I went down the soda aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I hadn't made my full judgment on the Pepsi stuff yet.
Right.
But seeing it in the store aisle, I think it looks good.
Okay.
It's
I'll check it out.
Solid colors, giant logos. And you gotta go in the next couple weeks, because you have to see it next to, like, they haven't upgraded like the cherry Pepsi yet, so it still has the old logo and the nasty packaging.
Right.
And then you can make a true comparison because
you'll
see them
next to each
other.
You're talking about the Pepsi stuff again. I was still on Tropicana there. So you were saying that the Pepsi stuff is good on store shelves?
I believe. Oh yeah, it's much superior than the old stuff.
No, just no.
That's I'm just saying.
I love the solid colors, but Coke did it first. And
no, Coke's got Santa Claus on theirs now.
Well. No, that the Christmas stuff is phasing out. When it's the normal stuff, you can't call the Christmas bottles a brand redesign.
No, it was on the 12-pack.
Coke did the flat colors last year. And now Pepsi's just, we're doing flat colors now. You know, the year before, they did 37 different can designs. They don't know their head from their ass right now.
Well, the Mutton Dew. That does not look good.
No. Okay. Well, we're not loving. After all, Donovan's got like 15 custom Mountain Dew bottles over here, and we're just not loving the new stuff. That, I believe, has been adequately covered in previous shows.
Now, let's go on.
All right. Next Twitter show topic.
How about talking about how you price different jobs, what you take into account? That's a big one.
Snap. That might that's be the rest. That that's might be like, that's not like a, what's your favorite snack chip question there.
I think we have to narrow this down when you're talking about pricing jobs.
Okay, narrow it down. What? And that's a part of the question.
Let's narrow it down to if you're pricing a freelance or a one-man job. Not like a giant job that's going to take 800
people. To me, those
people.
Are the same thing.
No, not like a job.
Oh, but okay,
that an
okay.
So do.
You're pricing it for yourself, and you're the guy that's doing it.
Right, not pricing.
Okay.
Because how to price a job like an agency would do, I don't know how
right.
they do that.
You have an agency. You have interns.
Right. But I mean, if you're talking a 100-person agency, I think what you do is you take whatever quote we give, and you just like put a comma
put a,
and
throw
a couple
an extra
zeros,
zero on the end of it.
Two or three zeros. And
are you,
you
yeah?
That
do
up.
You have 10 employees? Take whatever we say in the next 5 minutes and throw a zero at the end of it.
Do you have 100 employees? Throw two zeros.
Throw two. Yeah, just for whatever amount of employees you have. You know how many zeros are in that? You know, is it do you have 11? Well, then technically there's no zeros, but you've made the tens. Yeah, I think that's going to be our rule of thumb. So, Donovan, question to you then. Do you differentiate on jobs when you estimate? Or, like me, I look at how many hours do I think is it going to take for me to do this? It's going to take that many hours? There's your price.
That's what I try to do. But you don't want to give out the hourly. You want to...
No.
Most, and I do find that most clients don't like to hear that either, because if you tell them, oh, you know, I charge X dollars per hour, they have no idea.
Right.
They have no idea. Then you give them a bid, and they're like, how'd this take you 20 hours? Or how, you know...
Right.
And so you're always better off just
there's another,
you know, flat,
there's another
flat quoting it.
There's another side to that.
Unless it's production work. Production work can go hourly.
Yeah. Small things, production work and changes, you can just say my hourly rate is X. But for jobs, I agree with what Donovan said here, but I also want to throw it out there that throwing here's my hourly rate to a brand new client. And being a designer, you know, your hourly rate is going to be more than minimum wage, substantially, we should hope. And that kind of talk can kind of freak some people out if they don't have a pre-existing relationship with you, or you've come, you know, highly recommended as a very, very responsible person from someone they trust. Because if you just say to someone, I charge, you know, XX amount of dollars per hour to do your work, and that's just what it's going to cost. They don't know if it's going to take 10 hours, 20 hours, 100 hours, 150 hours.
Right.
And that in my experience has scared off more people than not. So it's better to just say, you know, if they say, well, how much is that going to cost? You say, well, let me put some numbers together and I'll call you back later today.
And I know
tomorrow.
We had this discussion where you did a logo and you said it was taking like three times what you bid, because it's every now and then you get those issues.
Yeah.
But I'm like, in the long run, that's fine. You'll get some bids that come in a little quicker. Mm-hmm. And then if you take, you know, 20 hours on something you actually only bid 10 on, yeah, you're out 10 hours, but that's just how it works.
Yeah, and hopefully you get good work at the end of that. We should do a show, Donovan, about how to guarantee that your projects turn out good so your clients don't bone you. Or, I should say, in a more accurate sense, so you don't allow your clients to bone you. We should do that show.
We're going to have to get a guest on that one.
Yeah! Nice. Okay, do we have more Twitter topics?
No.
Or are we closing the Twitter show?
We're closing the Twitter show. Now on to comments that we've gotten on our site.
Let's do this.
These are all from the last show, right?
We can call... Yeah, these are all from our highly controversial last show, which was the how little money do you plausibly need to spend to start a freelance design
now
business.
I think whenever you ask for advice, you don't ask for advice, you ask for the advice, and then you ask why do you say that. And so we always tried to explain what we wanted.
Yeah, why? Well, we attempted to, but right. Apparently we are dicks.
Well, the other but the other part is everyone's gonna have a different way of starting up a business,
right? I mean, and we got a lot of those.
I started mine with no debt,
although I'm gonna throw it out. Our first two comments are from Jeff. I always want to say Thibault. And Jeff, please correct us with a phonetic spelling of your name on the comments, if you don't mind, if I just spoke that incorrectly. He says, oh, you guys forgot to mention an internet subscription. I say lols. Yeah, you kind of want, yeah, you need to have an internet. We said like, you need to have a phone. We didn't even bring up internet.
Well, I figured you're just mooching off of your neighbor's apartment, yeah. Or you're just going to the coffee shop, you know, constantly.
Right. Well, and that's something that our boy Steve Gordon chimes in, is that if you're, You know, even if you're paying a dollar for coffee every day, that's $365 internet subscription fee over the course of a year. So it's probably going to be better to have some kind of Wi-Fi hookup at home. Ha-ha! All right. Jeff's other comments really go to the core of, do you want an iMac or do you want a MacBook? He says, you lose the ease of portability, but really the iMac is only 20 to 25 pounds. So if you had to move it, you could.
Now, when I started going out full time, you know, some of the work I had to go on site.
Right.
So you go to the client's place. If you're doing that and they don't have a computer to work on, but you may have to go in there to work a little bit, sometimes it's easier to. I know they can't technically make you, but you sometimes get more work if you're hanging out at a place because they know you. Then you would go laptop.
Well, allow me to continue.
Okay.
If I may. Which brings me, Jeff, to the next argument. Well, he said, sorry, I'm skipping ahead here. He's also assuming most freelancers would want to stay at the home to save on office rent and therefore would not need to move it as often. And again, like you said, it depends on the nature of your work.
And if you want to bring people, like clients, you want to have client meetings, but you don't want to necessarily bring them to your place. Oh. You have to meet a different place, then you probably have to go laptop.
Well, and that's only if you're doing... I've done plenty of client meetings just at like a Starbucks without a computer, and you can do business that way too. I have much more here. He's got many more arguments. I'm gonna throw it out there for iMac over MacBook, twice the screen size, twice the USB ports, twice the hard drive space, easy to upgrade RAM slots. We did talk about RAM a lot last show. Because the new MacBooks are an all-encompassed one-shell thing. It's not going to be as easy, according to him, to upgrade the RAM as it would be on the iMac.
You get a better value for your dollar with the iMac.
Mm.
But if you need to port it around, then you go with the MacBook.
Well, look, okay, so we're moving right on. Touched on Steve's comments. Steve had a lot of justification for why you need to have the internet and really... Okay, we get it. Yes, we forgot to bring up internet. We're bad. We're terrible at this. Okay.
We just assumed. Well, I think that goes to one of those comments says that a lot of this stuff you don't have to necessarily buy because you may be purchasing already. You might already have the internet at home.
Okay. I got a quick one from our boy Justin out in Colorado. You don't need two computers or a dual booting computer to check browser compatibility. He says head on over to browsershots.org. which I have not checked out, so if that downloads a virus to everyone's computer, our bad for trusting in Justin. Prescott, our boy Prescott Perez Fox out of New York, who today or over the last day or so has been running through all of the Oscar-nominated like best film movies that are not Dark Knight, and apparently they all suck. He says...
Did other movies come out other than Dark Knight?
Apparently. Wall-E came out, and Wall-E didn't get nominated
either.
I have
not seen it yet.
Actually more upset about than Dark Knight not
getting
nominated.
It got nominated for Best Animated Feature.
Oh, dude, that's like... That's just wrong. That's just pigeonholing. Moving on to his actual comment. He brings up that I don't think he's ever met a designer who wasn't to some degree already to set up a design operation at home. Typically, going full-time from home means an investment in a laser printer, fax machine, and maybe some business cards. The rest, it seems, is generally already in place. And I think that that's a pretty common point that we got back on the last show.
Well, I think we did mention that if you had a computer that was so far, you know, within a range of being new, and software that was a range of being new, you didn't have to buy anything.
Yeah.
So, do have to reiterate that part. We went over what you would need if you had nothing.
Yeah.
But if you had any of that other stuff, you just
go for it. And, not everyone needs to listen to what we say to the letter.
This last one I want
to bring up, this is from George. George, I don't know if I would go so far as to say that George hates us, but he definitely has some very crystal clear ideas on how to start a business. I'm not going to read all of this because there's a lot. But George says, dude, what kind of advice was that? You only forgot to apply to a new credit card and put it all on it.
George's complaints were that there's a lot of free software out there.
I was going to get to that. I was reading his bad grammar. Oh.
Don't be mean, Nate.
Okay. Well, his business rule number one is let the business pay for its own expenses.
Now, I think that's true. But I would say, as far as that goes, you can get by with things like iMovie if you're going to do one project or two projects. But if you're going to do multiple projects with illustration or layout, I don't know if I would recommend using like the free software, because then when you upgrade, is it even compatible anymore? When you're dealing with printers,
yeah,
and you're like, hey, I got this file. It was done in GIMP, not in Photoshop. You don't want them to think you're not a pro.
What is GIMP?
Part of its image.
That's on his list of great free Linux software.
It's actually if all you're needing is a bare bones Photoshop, it'll get the job done.
Does it have neon edges?
You may have to have a Linux machine to run it. Maybe they have a Mac version. Maybe they have a PC version. I'm not sure. But it's open source.
I notice you're a Linux man. I'm more of a Linux man. Is one of those proper and not the other?
I thought it was named after the guy's. Like his daughter Linus or something, but
no, couldn't be. All right, we're done with
someone
that.
Chime in. Don't do any research. Just chime in.
Dude busted us for saying spend money on a business when he says you should start a business and then spend money. And I gotta be honest with you, I don't really agree with that.
Well, no, I
think that you have to spend money to equip yourself to be a business, and that part of it sucks, and that's why you save up money.
But you can get used stuff. You can get old stuff. But yeah. I think you want to use. I would always recommend using the professional files, so that when you send them to printers or you send them to clients, if they by chance need things, they're always in the formats that they think you're legit.
Right.
Because there's a lot of perception
format
in this stuff.
Versus illegit format.
And I'm not saying illegit won't work.
Yeah.
But
well, there's a stigma if you send out files that are in CorelDRAW.
It's that stigma you don't want attached to.
Yeah, you don't want to be freelancing for like say a big advertising company in town and send them like PageMaker. Here's my PageMaker file, guys. Thanks for hiring me on this job. See you next year. No, it's not going to work out. It's a horrible thing to say, but it's true.
Right.
Yeah.
You can have a version back.
Yeah.
They're probably a version back anyway.
I'm two versions back on the rest of the world right now. I don't care.
Yeah, I wouldn't go more than two versions back, but you're fine.
Yeah. And again, all of this comes back to the fact that if you're thinking about starting up your own freelance company or just going 100% out on your own instead of doing it a little bit at night or on the side, you need to save up some cash before you do it. Don't go off half-cocked because you're pissed off about getting fired and decide to start your own company. Don't do that. Don't do that, Internet. Save some money, plan it out, and make sure that you have enough to cover your expenses for, I'm going to go ahead and say, the first 3 months. Just predict, have a safety net plan that says, I'm not going to make money for 3 months, and I'm going to have to spend it on things.
Right, because if you get the work, you got to do the work, all of a sudden you have to bill the work, then you got to wait to get paid.
Yeah, and then you got to promote. So that's there's a lesson, number one, we should have put in the last show. Do we have anything else to cover?
Well, some of it was just freelancing. If you're freelancing, it's on the side work. But you should probably note to make sure you know what your company's policy is. A lot of times you're in-house, they don't really care because they don't do ad work.
Right.
If you're working in an agency, a lot of times they're not real happy.
Yeah, I have yet to work anywhere where they were cool with freelance, but I've only worked in design firms and agencies. So, but I know a lot of my friends that do the in-house thing, the in-house people couldn't care less.
That's how I started up. Yeah. They
rock it.
They actually, sometimes they prefer it because it keeps you current and it keeps you thinking design rather than just thinking one client.
Well, speaking of thinking design, I think we're going to wrap it up. If you want to think design, tune in 2 weeks, not to our show, but to Debbie Millman's show, February 13th.
We might have a show in 2 weeks.
We're going to have a lot of shows coming
up.
We
next
should talk
week,
about that.
Next week we have the
Super Bowl Spectacular I.
Yeah, numeral uno.
We're not numbering the show. We're doing that for a reason, but it's Super Bowl Spectacular I. If you listen to the Be a Design Cast, you know what you're in for. It's going to be epic. There's going to be video. We're going to double fist it. We're going to break some ankles.
Rob's going to be like pounding cheeseburgers.
Rob is going to be pounding cheeseburgers. It's going to be fantastic. Well, who's coming in? We got Tom Nemitz. We got Rob. We got Design Princess Ashley McFeely. We got Design Legend Steve Gordon. And
somehow we got invited to it.
And you and I are invited to our own Super Bowl party. So that's next week. It's not 2 weeks. It's next week. And then after that, we're back with a regular show.
One last question here.
Yeah.
Super Bowl teams are, the colors are black, white, red, yellow. I mean, that's like a designer happiness, isn't it?
Yeah, somebody mentioned that. It might have been you on the last show.
Probably me mentioned
it. I'm not sure if I throw yellow into that. But if we could just
get
like the Falcons and the black socks, or the white, I said black socks. I was going to say white socks and make a joke that they're not even a football team. I don't even know who the black socks are, but they're red and white.
I believe that was a really...
You throw the Falcons in there, and then it's red, white, and black. Is there another just red and white and black football team? you tell me?
Don't quiz me so fast.
All right, dude. Thing. Okay, we let's cut this off. This is getting ridiculous. Thanks for listening
to the
Reflex Blue Show, and we'll see you in 1 week. Bye. Check it in the microphone.
Oh yeah,
Donovan Beery,
it's happening, dude.
Gonna go right home.
It's what? Where?
We're gonna be podcasting night and day.
This is bad.
Hope I don't have to bale some hay.
Okay.